Welcome. My name is Elizabeth Sewell. I'm one of the associate directors of the center, and I'm in charge of issues in Eastern Europe. And I've been asked to speak to you today on some of the issues and trends there. After the fall of the Berlin Wall and the falling apart of the Soviet Union, there was a great wave of openness in the beginning of the 1990s. Constitutions were liberalized, new religion laws were passed that allowed for easy access to legal entity status, made it very easy to proselyte. Lots of religious groups came into the country. Lots of indigenous groups were formed. A lot of bursts of religious freedom. In reaction to that, however, in the past 10 years or so, we've seen a number of forces that have pushed back on that religious freedom and have tried to curtail some of the protections for believers in religious organizations. One of those forces has been the Orthodox Church or the dominant church. Usually it's the Orthodox Church in Eastern Europe, although not exclusively. Certainly in Central Asia, it's Islam. But, for example, there's a new patriarch in Russia, Kirill, who's very strong, very dominant, has met with Putin, been pushing for increased relations with the Orthodox Church. There's been a number of treaties signed with the Orthodox Church over the last number of years that have increased Orthodox presence in official organizations, in public education, a course designed to teach Orthodoxy, in the military, and so forth. Bulgaria, for example, several years ago designated Orthodoxy as its national religion. Another force of reaction has been a reaction to the perceived influx of foreign missionaries. There actually have been proportionately few, but for countries that are not used to seeing any foreigners, having foreign missionaries come in has seemed threatening. There's been concerns and publications saying that they're spies. There's a sense that they're stealing our youth or they're undermining our church that spent 70 years or 40 years in disrepair, and now it's being taken advantage of by foreign forces. The national security conception in Russia, for example, in 2000, that lays out what its national security should be based on, explicitly states that foreign missionaries are detrimental to the national security of Russia. Another force for this reaction has been a neo-totalitarian impulse. It's at its very worst in Belarus, where there's laws against the public displays of religion or exercise of religion. People have been arrested for praying in public or having religious ceremonies or meetings in public. Any kind of non-registered religious activity is illegal. Foreign leadership of organizations is prevented. If you have foreign leaders, they can't come and speak or actively lead any kind of congregation. This neo-totalitarianism is also seen in Russia. Last number of years, things have gotten much worse. There's an attempt to consolidate power in the government and to eliminate forces in civil society that are a balance or counterweight to the government. For example, in 2006, there's a new Russian law on NGOs that made it very difficult for NGOs to receive foreign financing and increased the ability of the state to control them, to review their finances, and to shut them down. And that's been used against journalists and different kinds of NGOs that are critical of the government. But it's had an effect on religious organizations as well. And there's been attempts to try and extend it to religious organizations or to tighten laws, say, against proselyting. But none of those have passed at the national level yet, but there's been some serious attempts. Another force of reaction is concerns about terrorism. You see this particularly in Central Asia, which is understandably concerned and bordering on Afghanistan. Almost all of Central Asia passed new laws on religious organizations last year. Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tatarstan, Tajikistan. They limit when you can form religious organizations, who can do missionary work, where you can do missionary work, when you can do missionary work. The goal is trying to prevent radical Muslim groups from forming, but of course it also affects a broad range of groups. And you see this elsewhere. The anti-extremism laws that have been adopted over the last 10 years or so are now also being used to fight minority religious organizations that are disfavored. This sort of anti-sect campaign, sect meaning what cult you means in the U.S., a derogatory term for a minority religion. In Russia, for example, the anti-extremism law has been used to ban publications and shut down congregations of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's an expert advisory council in the Justice Department of the Russian Federation on religious affairs, the expert advisory council on religious affairs, that's now headed by Dworkin, who's the largest and most prominent leader of the anti-sect movement in Russia. You see some of these forces combining, the sort of anti-foreign, anti-minority groups, fear of extremism, totalitarian impulses in government, and these have all led to a restriction of the rights of individuals and organizations in Eastern Europe. For those of you who are interested in tracking events and following them, your best bet is Forum 18. They have a website and do surveys of individual countries as well as keeping up on the news and do email listservs. And if you read Russian, then, or if you don't but you're interested, the SOVA Center, S-O-V-A Center in Russia, has a very detailed journalistic coverage of religion events in Russia. There's also another website, religiopolis.org, that's in Russian that tracks religion issues in Russia as well. There's more that could be said, but I hope that'll give you at least a feel for the area. Thank you.